Not by accident, not as a random collection of cells that just happened to form a personality and stumble into life. You made a deal before you got here. You knew what was coming, the hard shit, the heartbreak, the seasons that would bring you to your knees, the moments where you would question everything, the people who would leave, the dreams that would feel like they died before they had a chance to breathe. You knew all of this was part of the deal, and you chose it anyway because you also knew what was on the other side of it. You knew the beauty, you knew the love, you knew the potential inside of you that no amount of hard could extinguish. You knew you could remember who you were in Christ, even in the middle of the worst of all of this. And then life happened, and the distractions came as they would. The devil is busy. This is spiritual warfare. And they did not come all at once, because that would have been super obvious and a great way for us to resist. They came slowly, all these things, one at a time. Each one reasonable on its own, until one day you look up and you realize you've drifted so far from the version of yourself that made the deal that you barely recognize that person anymore. But I just want to tell you that version of you is still in there, and this episode is how we get her back. You guys, welcome to Listen Bitch Podcast. I am Brandon Lynette, Voice Authority Podcast Coach. Your mess is your message. Your potential is your purpose. Get the fuck over yourself and go build it. I believe this is episode 600, legit, on this show alone. So I feel like that's fucking dope. And I want to say this episode means a lot to me because, like everything else, the consistency, the victim mentality, all of this stuff, the stopping asking everybody for their opinions, all of this shit sits on top of this foundational thing, and that's going to be who you are. Cut out all the other bullshit. This isn't about who the world decided you were. It's not about who you think people want you to be. It's not who the hard seasons made you feel like or who God says you are. And if you do not know that, if you do not know who God says you are, if that foundation is not solid underneath your feet, then none of the rest of this, I think, really is important. I don't think it matters. The past 3 years, my answer has been to open the Bible, and it's not because I am some religious Bible thumping holier than thou. Y'all, I need Jesus more than most people. But this, I'm going to tell you, I say everything's in the Bible because that's what I've discovered in the past 3 years, and it is the only thing that has held when everything else fell apart. And I'm telling you, shit's falling apart all the time. But this is the foundation that grounds me even in the middle of the chaos. And I am not the same person I was before I understood who God says I am. And this is the thing, I question it all the time. Why me? Why me? I know you guys hear me say that. I question it. But the truth is, he chose me. And if he could choose me in all of my mess and everything I am and all of my mistakes, everything I fucked up, and every season where I was building the wrong shit, being the wrong person, having the wrong habits, if he can pick me in all my sin, in all my shortcomings, if he can pick me, I am guaranteeing you he has handpicked you as well. Today is brought to you by Super Patch, and we're going to talk about peace today. I don't even think I could show it. Oh, I can. Brought to you by peace today, because remembering who you are in Christ is not always just this big triumphant moment. Sometimes it's a really quiet one, a very still one. It's the nervous system settling into the truth about who you are after this long season of believing the bullshit lie that the devil has planted in our brains. Peace supports that settling in your nervous system. It's the stress relief, it's the calm. It's really your body finding its way back to the baseline of someone who knows that they're held. These are drug-free, made in the USA, vibrotactile technology, works through your nervous system. I always keep a link in the show notes, okay? Listen, nobody wakes up one day and decides to forget who they are. It's like a drift, and the drift is slower than that, and it's a lot sneakier. It happens in these little increments, small enough that like you don't even notice each one. That's how small this is. You get busy and the Bible sits on the nightstand unopened for a week, no big deal. But then the week becomes a month and you get into a hard season and you start spending more time in the problem than you spend in the presence of the one who has already solved it. The worry becomes the dominant voice, and the truth becomes the thing you know intellectually but cannot quite feel in your body anymore. Someone says something that lands wrong, and instead of filtering it through what you know to be true about yourself, you absorb it. You're in the arena. You let that shit settle and you build a little story around it. And the story has just enough truth adjacent to it that it feels credible. So you're believing the shit. Like, I'm too much. I'm not enough. I always do this. I never get that right. Who am I to think this was made, that I was made for something bigger than this? Then the distractions continue to multiply. Social media is not neutral. The news cycle is not neutral. The comparison is not neutral. Every single one of those inputs has a version of you, who you are, and what you deserve, and what is possible in your life. And none of that shit is going to line up with what God says. And like, you're just marinating in this inputs and in what everything else around you. You're doing it for hours a day, while the only source that actually tells the truth about who you are just sits unopened on your nightstand or wherever you keep the Bible. That's the drift I'm talking about. And it's not a big explosive moment. It's not a single catastrophic moment of just losing yourself. It's a slow accumulation of the bullshit noise that drowns the signal until you forget that the signal is there. And I've done that several times where I'll miss the Bible for a few days, and that few days turns into a few weeks. And then I'm like, wow, something is really off in my life right now. Something is not right. I need to get back to being grounded. And we are human. And I think, how could I do that? Knowing everything it's brought into my life, knowing every single gift, every single blessing, every single lesson, all of that security and that foundation, how could I forget? Because we're fucking human. We're human. But I want you guys to understand and just ruminate on this for a minute, because I think that it changes the relationship with the hard stuff when you actually believe it. We chose this experience. Maybe not the circumstances, maybe not the particular pain, not the exact people or the specific timing, but the experience itself. We chose the coming here, the feeling everything, the full weight of being human inside a broken world with the capacity to love and hurt and create and lose and get back up. We knew what we were signing up for. The heartbreak was not a surprise to the God who made us. The seasons that completely wrecked us were not outside the plan. The mess was always going to be a part of the deal. The beauty and the love and the potential were also always going to be a part of the deal. You did not get the hard without the capacity to handle it. You did not get the calling without the equipment to fulfill it. And this is the part that these demons work hardest to make you forget, because a person who knows who they are, who knows how they how who knows the deal that they made, who understands that the hard part of the experience they signed up for, rather than evidence that they got the wrong life, that person is almost impossible to keep small. When you know that you were chosen and you were given the capacity it internally to be able to handle this, no one can stop you. There's no longer a ceiling on who you are and who you become. So that's why the noise has to get turned up, and that's why the distractions have to get louder. And that's where the comparison gets more targeted. The fear gets more specific. All of it's designed to make you forget the deal that you made and the identity that you carry and that very specific, unrepeatable, God-designed version of yourself that walked into this human experience on purpose. You did not get the wrong life. You got the life that produces the exact version of you that was always supposed to exist. Your brain has something called a self-concept, and it is one of the most powerful structures in your entire psychological architecture. It's the file your brain keeps on you, like who you are, what you're capable of, what you deserve, what is possible for your life. And the brain uses that file constantly. It's filtering every piece of incoming information through it, deciding what to accept as consistent with who you are and what to reject as inconsistent. The problem is the self-concept gets built from data. And if the dominant data you've been feeding your brain is the noise, if it's the comparison, the worst things people have said about you, or the seasons where you failed or fell short and couldn't sustain the shit you started, then your self-concept starts to look less like who God says you are and more like the sum of your worst moments and then everyone else's opinions about them. Neuroplasticity means the self-concept is not fixed, okay? It's not planted in cement. It is built from whatever you repeat the most. And the neural pathways that carry your sense of identity grow stronger or weaker based on what you feed them. Feed the self-concept with truth consistently, and the truth becomes automatic response. Feed it with noise, and the noise becomes the filter through which you see everything, including yourself. This is why opening the Bible is not a religious ritual for people who are afraid of God. It is a neurological input. It is you deliberately feeding the self-concept the truth about who you are rather than letting the algorithm decide. Every time you read that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you were known before you were formed, that you were created for good works, prepared in advance for you, that you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind, your brain is receiving data, data that repeated consistently enough will build the neural pathway of someone who actually believes it. Those aren't my words, babe. That stuff's in the Bible, and you have access to it every single day. If you're listening to this, maybe you don't have a Bible at home. You have access on your phone. Trust me, free Bibles all over the place. Your nervous system carries the identity too. And this is where it gets physical rather than just psychological. When you know who you are, when the identity is settled and the self-concept is grounded in truth rather than noise, your nervous system defaults to a parasympathetic state. That is, if you guys remember, the safety state, the I am held and I know it state, the body at rest in an identity that doesn't require constant defense or constant proving yourself. When the identity is under a threat, when the self-concept has drifted from the truth towards all the bullshit, your nervous system shifts into that sympathetic state, which is braced, defended, slightly hypervigilant, and the body of someone who is not sure of who they are and is therefore not sure they're safe. That constant vigilance is exhausting in ways that have nothing to do with how much sleep you get. Remembering who you are in Christ is not just spiritual practice. It is the most direct path to nervous system regulation that is available to us. And it doesn't cost you a dime. When the identity settles, the body settles. When the body settles, you could think clearly. When you could think clearly, you can act from the truth about who the fuck you are rather than from the fear about who you might not be. And listen, your phone is not neutral. It's not. The average person spends somewhere between 4 and 7 hours a day on a screen, and most of what is on that screen was designed by teams of behavioral scientists whose explicit job is to keep you scrolling. Not to make you a better person, not to remind you who you are, but to keep your attention on the platform long enough to serve you another ad, to keep you consuming. The algorithm doesn't give a fuck about whether, you know, what you're consuming is building you up or tearing you down. It cares about whether it's keeping you engaged. And fear, inadequacy, and comparison keep you engaged better than anything else. They've researched that. It is a 100% fact. You could fact check me. Every time you spend an hour consuming content that reminds you what you do not have, what you have not achieved, what you do not look like, what everyone else seems to be doing, what you're not doing, you're feeding the self-concept noise. And the noise is louder than most people realize until they go quiet enough, until you shut up long enough to hear how loud it's been. And the news cycle, you guys, runs entirely on threat activation. Your nervous system is being deliberately triggered multiple times a day through your phone. The anger, the fear, the outrage, the helplessness, the this is never getting better heaviness that really settles in after you spend an hour doom scrolling the news. This is not you being appropriately informed. That's your nervous system being hijacked repeatedly by people who profit from your dysregulation. Big tech built the infrastructure. Big pharma will sell you something for the anxiety the infrastructure created. Big food has you reaching for comfort that never really comforts you. The whole fucking system is designed to keep you looking everywhere except at the one source that has always known exactly who you are and what you're capable of and what you were made for. And it's all inside of you, nothing external. Open the Bible. That's the antidote. It's not complicated. It's not expensive. It's not gatekept by an institution or a credential or a specific domination. Open the Bible and let the truth about who you are get louder than the noise about who you're not. There have been seasons where I had no idea who I was. That's it. Like rock bottom that didn't make sense, right? I have a beautiful family. Everybody's happy. Everybody's healthy. I'm still rock bottom. But I was so busy building and managing stuff and didn't even know who I was. When was the last time I sat with God long enough to hear anything? You can do all the right things. You can pray Sort of. You can go through the motions of spiritual practice that become a habit rather than encounter. You could say the right words, you can know the right verses. Underneath all of it, the self-concept, if it drifts too far from the truth, then you start making decisions from fear without knowing it's fear. And then I'm here and I start protecting myself from exposure without knowing that it's protection. I find myself shrinking in ways that I rationalize so thoroughly that I feel like I'm being wise. And it's not. When I veer off the path, when I don't have the grounding, when I can consciously, actively say, I think I told you guys yesterday, I'm in the loop of just, I see the comparison suddenly, and it's loud. And it's loud because I'm not making room for the right voice. That's it. And the thing that really brings that back into my awareness, it's not some big sermon or conversation or explosive revelation. It's just sitting still long enough to actually read. Not reading for the content, not to read looking for answers to a problem, but just to read and let the truth sink in. Psalm 139, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. Where can I go from your spirit? You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Read that slowly, and then you read it again, and you let the question sit with yourself honestly. Do I actually believe this? Not do I know this intellectually, but do I believe it in my core about myself right now in this season? There are times I've answered that automatic and easily. And there are times, like even in this moment, that I hesitate. That's how we know we have work to do. We want the answer to be automatic, right? And that gap between knowing the truth and believing the truth about yourself is the space where that drift lives, and it's where the enemy gets busy and the devil gets loud. Let's start feeding the self-concept differently. We're in this together. Let's do it deliberately, the truth consistently, until, it's not information anymore. Until we start bringing this into our identity again, that's available to us now, before this episode's 24 hours old. I think a lot of people have spent so long consuming other people's opinions about themselves that they forget what God actually says. They forget. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I've been through the Bible in the past 3 years. This is going on my third time. I've read it several times. It doesn't say adequately made. It doesn't say, not made okay for the circumstances you were given. You were made with awe. The Hebrew word translated fearfully in Psalm 139 means with reverence, with great care, with the specific attention you give to something that matters so deeply to you. God made you with that, not carelessly. He did it with the attention of someone who was building something that truly mattered. Before you were born, he knew you. Jeremiah 1:5, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. You were not a surprise. You are not an afterthought. You were known before you had a name and a face and a single experience that would shape who you become. You are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The works were prepared before you arrived. The good you're supposed to do in the world was already planned and waiting for you to show up and do it. The calling is not something you have to earn or discover or manufacture. It is yours and it is waiting. You have not been given a spirit of fear. Everybody's out here afraid to do the next thing. That's the devil. God gave you a spirit of power and love and sound mind. Power, love, sound mind. That is your original equipment. The fear is not from him. The smallness is not from him. The spirit that shuts you down and keeps you quiet and convinces you that you're too much or not enough is not from him. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He started something in you and he's not done with it. The hard seasons are not evidence that the work got abandoned. They're a part of completing it. This is who the fuck you are. Not who you feel like on the hard days. You are who God says you are, which is the only version that doesn't change based on your performance or your circumstances or whether you've been consistent or whether the last season went the way you hoped. It doesn't matter. I got to have this chat with a lady on my show who she said is the longest forgetting of her life. She believed in God. She still believed in him. She prayed, she showed up to church most Sundays, but like she drifted so far from actually knowing who God said she was that she made every major decision. I think it was like a three-year period from a place of fear and inadequacy rather than identity and calling. She shrunk her business. She hadn't recorded her podcast for 8 months. She said no to opportunities that were hers because she lost this internal anchor that would have told her she was equipped to say yes. And the thing that pulled her back was just her daughter asking her, "Mom, who does God say you are?" That's it. She couldn't answer. It wasn't automatic anymore. That's a wake-up call. Ask yourself, who does God think you are? And she has this great story. You guys will have to subscribe to that podcast so you can hear her journey. I think it's coming. It's not going to be out until August. But she goes home, she opens her Bible. She said she sat there for 2 hours reading it. And she said it was like remembering a language she had once been fluent in and had forgotten, you know, that everything just came back. And so she went back remembering who she was. She relaunched her podcast. She's on a podcast tour to promote it. Her business is back and booming. The yes is returned. But listen, you know what didn't change? And this is the honesty that I love about this podcast show that I have, is that she made it very clear circumstances didn't change. She was still in the arena getting her ass kicked. The only difference of everything that was happening in her life is because she remembered who she was and she operated from that instead of the fear. Like, just sit with that for a second. Who does God say you are? I think if you can answer that quickly, that's amazing. But if you have to think about that, that's where the work starts today. That's where it starts today. Why don't you guys send this episode out to someone who has drifted, someone who used to be very clear on who they were, and somewhere in this last year they've gotten quiet, small, less certain. I feel like there's someone out there that you can help this show reach that really needs to hear this. And then quickly just subscribe and leave a review, you guys. There is a story of a son who left home with his inheritance and spent it all and ended up in a far country feeding pigs. I know I've told you guys about this. He wished he could eat what they were eating. And the scripture says stuff that I come back to so constantly because I think it is so important. And this is one of the greatest stories that talks about us remembering who we were because it talks about the fact that he came to himself. He came to himself. He'd been so far from his own identity, so deep into the far country of someone else's environment and someone else's values. And the consequences of decisions made when he wasn't listening to what he actually knew to be true, that remembering who he was just required that return. He came to himself and he said, "My father's servants live better than this." He came to himself and he said, "He will go home." He came to himself and he got up and went toward the father who was already watching down the road running. The father did not wait for the son to clean up before he threw the party. He ran before the son even arrived at the house, put the robe on him, the ring, threw the celebration. You guys know there was a party because the coming to himself, that's the whole thing. The return to identity was the moment that changed everything. The rest was just the father doing what the father always does when his child remembers who they are. You might be in the far country right now, in the accumulated distance of a long season of bullshit that has covered the signal, and coming to yourself is available right now in this episode, right now. Open the Bible, come home to the truth about who you are. The Father is running to you. And you guys, this doesn't look like having a dramatic encounter every morning before you can function. It does not require a specific quiet time format or particular Bible reading plan or any structure that requires you to be a different kind of person than you already are. It's just feeding the self-concept the truth on purpose, daily until the truth becomes louder than the bullshit. That could be the one verse you sit with slowly enough to actually let it land. Okay. It can be a psalm read out loud so you hear it in your own voice. It could be a question you ask yourself every morning. Who does God say I am today? And am I operating for that? And I'm going to tell you, if you wake up every single day and you ask out loud, I ask God, you know, who am I today? Anything I've ever asked him for, if I want to see the proof and truth of that, I ask in the morning and I will see the proof and the truth all day. But this is really important because this coming to self again looks like noticing when that drift is starting. And the body is going to tell you before the conscious mind catches it. There is a slight tightening. There's a quiet that's not peaceful, but vaguely anxious. The tendency to scroll instead of sit. Those are all signals that the signal to noise ratio has gotten off. And that's when you come back to this before the drift becomes a distance. And you want to protect the input. Be honest about what you're feeding yourself concept every single day. Make different choices about what gets access to you. Just have an awareness that what goes in, what you're consuming shapes what stays in. And the noise has a cumulative effect that you have been underestimating. We want to operate from identity rather than feeling, because your feelings are going to change. I say it all the time, fuck your feelings. The hard days still are going to feel hard and uncertainty still feels uncertain. But if you operate from identity, that means you're making decisions from who God says you are rather than from how the hard day is making you feel. And that's practice. It's not a one-time decision. It's daily. And no matter how good you get at this, you're going to be stuck in the same position I am and then coming back to that. Coming back saying, wow, it's been so long. And that's it. So today we open the Bible. Not to find something specific, just to read. Start with Psalm 139 if you don't know where to start. And read it slowly enough that you actually absorb what it's saying about you. Not the concept of people in general, but just about you specifically. This book was written for you. Then I want you to write down the answer to this question. Who does God say I am? Listen, bitch, not who do you feel like? Not who has the hard season who the season has suggested you are. What does God say? Write it down in your own words. Put it somewhere that you're going to see it. And this week, audit one input. One source you've been consuming that has been feeding the self-concept bullshit instead of truth. You don't have to cut it out all at once. I'm saying just name one and spend the time you would have given it reading something that actually tells you who you are instead. You came here on purpose. You made a deal. You knew the hard was part of it. And you knew you could remember who the fuck you were. Who you are in Christ, even in the middle of the bullshit, the life you are living right now, even the hard parts, especially the hard parts, is the life you were equipped to handle. The mess is the message. The hard season is the preparation. The forgetting is not the end of the story because the remembering is always available. My answer is always the Bible, not because it is the respectable religious answer, but because it's the only thing that's ever held when everything else falls apart. It is the only source that's never changed its mind about who I am based on my performance or my seasons or the times I fucked everything up. He chose me in my mess, in my sin, in all my inadequacy. He also has handpicked you in yours. So I'm saying come back to yourself. Open the book. Let the truth get louder than the noise. I would love for you to come work with me. Check the show notes. Tell me where you've drifted. Tell me what the noise has been saying about you. And let me show you what the truth says instead. Because your voice, your story, your mess turned message, that is what I help you put in the world. And the world needs the version of you that knows who the fuck you are. Better today than yesterday. Better tomorrow than today. That's your whole assignment.